Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
Two safety high. They've got a dime package on the field. They rush five. Luck in the pocket. It goes Von Miller. Miller's got him. And the ball is free. Picked up by Shane Ray to the five. Touchdown, Denver. Von Miller. Miller wrecks the Colts with 1:42 left. Strip sack. Knocking the ball away from Andrew Luck.
All right, welcome in Locked On Broncos podcast. I'm your host, Adam Kinney. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Kinney Radio. There is the call from Dave Logan of the strip sack from Von Miller that put the nail in the coffin against the Indianapolis Colts to improve the Broncos' record 2-0. We recapped the game in our last episode, but we didn't really get into the casualties of going 2-0. In the NFL and what that might bring. And the Broncos definitely suffered some casualties against the Indianapolis Colts. And here was Gary Kubiak on Sunday talking about the injuries.
We got three guys we're concerned about. Stevenson's got a calf. It was something we dealt with all day with Michael going outside and Weems coming inside. Virgil has a calf and DeMarcus has a ulna fracture. And so we have to see in the morning exactly what the case is going to be, whether we think it's something to play with or we think it's something that has to be fixed. So.
Well, the Broncos saw on Monday morning that it was something that had to be fixed, and DeMarcus Ware underwent surgery to repair a fracture in his arm, and he's going to be missing some considerable time. They're talking about 6 to 8 weeks, the loss for DeMarcus Ware, and really the vocal and emotional, spiritual, all of the above leader of the Broncos' established defense. And this happened last year. They were without DeMarcus Ware because of a back injury for quite some time. For any of you who watched the Americas game on NFL Network, they kind of went into detail, or DeMarcus did, about the time that he missed, and he was kind of sidelined around the same time as Peyton Manning, and his drive and will to get back really propelled them in the playoffs. And so the Broncos kind of faced with a similar thing here. And last year they leaned on the guys that were behind them, the depth that they have at the outside linebacker, and that Shane Ray and Shaq Barrett, and Von Miller even brought up one more name that might be in the mix to help the absence of DeMarcus Ware. Here was Von post-game on Sunday.
I mean, we got, Shaq, Shane, and Dakota, all those guys are great rushers, and it was just time for those guys to play a little bit more. But I feel like, D-Ware, he's battled some injuries. He'd be right back, though. That's just the type of, pro that he is. He'd be able to fight through it. He'd be right back.
So there's Von Miller talking about how DeMarcus Ware may be able to rush back out on the field just because of the type of player that he is, but the prognosis is anywhere between 4 and 8 weeks as it stands right now. He did have a successful surgery, and so now it's going to be the long road back for DeMarcus Ware. And you heard Von say it's Shaq Barrett, Shane Ray, and then even Dakota Watson. He brings him up by name as a guy that could come in and kind of help the blow to the Broncos defense that will be the loss of DeMarcus Ware. And we saw Dakota really explode onto the scene during training camp and during the preseason and fought his way onto this roster, kind of an unknown name there. Shaq Barrett last year in 2015 had 5.5 sacks for the Broncos along with 4 forced fumbles, so he was able to really make his stamp in that category. Is while Shane Ray in his rookie campaign with 20 tackles on the season, 4 sacks, and no forced fumbles. But it's going to be a platoon effort for the Broncos defense, and they certainly have some capable hands. And they got to play a lot during training camp in the preseason, so not even talking about their experience that they gained so much last year. They got to play so much because of the Von Miller contract situation, and then along with DeMarcus Ware really not being a factor all the way through training camp and then into the preseason before he actually got out there on the field. So these guys, it was Shaq and Shane Ray that were getting all the reps with the first team, so they're going to be familiar with their surroundings, familiar with the defense, their second year, I mean third year for Shaq, but second year in the scheme under Wade Phillips, that they certainly can be in capable hands, but certainly a blow for the Broncos in the leadership department. And he's still going to be around, obviously, but it's not the same when they're not out there on the field. So definitely a blow for the Broncos defense losing DeMarcus Ware. But it wasn't just the offensive side of the ball that took a blow, as you heard the Donald Stevenson and Virgil Green, Gary Kubiak brought them up as players that were banged up in the win against Indianapolis, so they're going to have to figure some things out offensively. I think the Donald Stevenson thing hurts them more if he's not able to go, because that means more Michael Schofield in key situations. He's going to have to flip outside, as he did on Sunday, so not something that you really want to see there. And then obviously Virgil Green, depending on, you know, the progression of Jeff Heuerman and John Phillips, if he's going to miss a game, the Broncos will probably be okay, but it's not something that you want to see long term, so they're going to have to figure some things out there as well. All right, I want to jump into a new segment of the show. I'm going to try and plan on doing this every week after Sunday's games, and I want to go around the AFC West, and I want you guys to be in tune with what's happening within the Broncos division and kind of update you on where things are standing and the biggest rivals for the Broncos to get their sixth consecutive AFC West title and what that would mean. We're going to start with the Kansas City Chiefs. They had a game against the Houston Texans on Sunday, and the Texans were trying to get a little bit of revenge on the Chiefs for that wild card playoff weekend last year.
Third down and six, Kansas City from the Chiefs 44. Trips right, including Kelce. Smith in the gun, one back. And the snap over Smith's head. He's trying to chase it down. And the ball is collected at the 26-yard line by J.J. Watt. Osweiler behind the center. Greg Mantz takes the snap, takes the knee, and it is over. What a difference a year makes. The Texans defeat Kansas City 19-12 and run their record to 2-0.
Call courtesy of the Texans radio network there. The Texans approved the 2-0 on the season, while the Chiefs fall to 1-1. And in a playoff rematch, as I said, what a difference a year makes, you heard on the call there. Alex Smith and company fall to Brock Osweiler's Houston Texans. 20-37 on the day for Alex Smith, 186 yards. Still no Jamal Charles for the Chiefs. And so they had to rely on Charcandrick West and Spencer Weir, but just couldn't really capitalize in the end zone against the Texans defense. So after that crazy week one victory over the San Diego Chargers, the Chiefs drop a game and fall to 1-1 on the season. And remember last year, it's going to be interesting to see how the Chiefs bounce back from this, because it was a Thursday night game against the Broncos last year where they dropped that in the waning moments of that game, and then I think they ended up losing their next five games before going on that long streak to get them into the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Chiefs bounce back. And for all your Chiefs coverage, make sure you're tuning in to the Locked On Chiefs podcast here on the Locked On Sports Podcast Network. And Ryan Tracy will get you everything that you need to know. Make sure you find him on Audio Boom and on iTunes. Moving on, we will go to San Diego, the other team from that week one bout against the Chiefs, where they played that kind of back and forth game, and the Chargers needed a win badly, and they got just that against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The play clock again ticks down to 5 and 4 and 3. Jaguars drop out of the blitz. Rivers looking, chucks it underneath to Williams. Cats in the run to the near sideline. 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Spinning, pushing, he is over!
Whoa!
He was dragging Jacksonville Jaguars with him. The final seconds are ticking away, and Travis Benjamin, a big day. Melvin Gordon did not miss his shot. Thank you. The final today, Chargers 38 and the Jaguars 14.
Well, there you hear it, the call courtesy of the Chargers radio network. The Chargers improved their record to 1-1 on the season, but again, not without cost, because after just a week after losing Keenan Allen for the season, thanks to a torn ACL, they lose a key piece of the offense as well out of the backfield, losing Danny Woodhead. I went heavy in on Danny Woodhead for this fantasy season, at least in PPR leagues, and so that's going to hurt me among many, many fantasy owners out there. But you never want to see a guy tear an ACL, especially so early in the season, really at any point in time. But the Chargers are going to be without Woodhead for quite some time. A wonderful performance from Phillip Rivers, 17-24, very, very high completion percentage, 220 yards, and then 4 touchdowns. So he picked apart the vaunted Jaguars defense led by Malik Jackson and company. But the Chargers get a win here. They improved to 1-1, much needed after the heartbreaker against the Chiefs last week. And make sure you're tuning in to the Locked On Chargers podcast. I mean, the Chargers are going to be playing the Colts next week, I believe, in Indianapolis. I think that's correct. But make sure you're tuning in to that podcast hosted by Derek Togerson, and find them on Audio Boom and on iTunes. Moving on, the final game here in the AFC West that we're going to discuss, the Oakland Raiders, after surprising the world against the New Orleans Saints in their last-second heroics, tried to replicate just that against the Atlanta Falcons.
Three receivers here to the near side. Carr will start inside with Cooper. And Amari Cooper takes off up the field. Got knocked to the ground, and it's lateral back to Roberts, now to Carr. Carr going to throw it back here to Crabtree. Crabtree, pump fake, and works up the near side, knocked out of bounds by Jones, and the game is over. Well, they got three nice exchanges, but the horn sounds, and the Falcons pick up their first win of the year. They beat the Oakland Raiders here in the Bay Area by a final of 35-28.
So the Raiders drop a home game here, and they fall to 1-1 on the season. So now you got a three-way tie for second place in the AFC West. The Chargers, the Chiefs, and the Raiders all 1-1. Raiders lose to the Falcons on their home turf, and despite Derek Carr, once again, he's really having a coming-out party here for Oakland. 34-45 for 299 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. You know, he's just really blossoming into one of the top quarterbacks. So quarterback play is plentiful in the AFC West, and I think that's the thing that I want to take from this is, you know, all three of them, they're hanging in there. Everybody thought the Chargers were going to be the dwellers of the AFC West, but you know, it seems like they still got a little fire left in them when Phillip Rivers is playing well. The Raiders are a much better football team. They're going to stay in games. Their defense may not be great, but their offense can hang with people now. And then, obviously, you know what the Chiefs are capable of, and they're going to figure some things out defensively and offensively when they get key pieces back like Houston and Jamal Charles going forward. For the Raiders next week, should be a fun game to watch at the Tennessee Titans. A couple of young teams going head-to-head, and make sure you're listening to the Locked On Raiders podcast hosted by Bill Williamson, the old ESPN writer for the AFC West. He's the host of the Locked On Raiders podcast, so find them on there. We're going to get back to the Broncos here in just a second and kind of talk about Trevor Siemian in his first road start and kind of what that means for him and the team. But I want to remind you to subscribe to us on iTunes, the Locked On Broncos podcast. Find us on Audio Boom, and make sure you're finding all the great shows on the Locked On Sports Podcast Network.
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
I want to show you my first ever painting.
All right.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of colors and shapes.
So be honest. What do you think?
Well, I like how if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Here, why don't I hold your paintbrush while you call them?
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
All right, back to the Broncos here, as they are now 2-0, and they're facing a road matchup at Cincinnati, the 1-1 Cincinnati Bengals, after they dropped a close division game against in a rainy Pittsburgh against the Steelers in another one of these kind of vengeance playoff matchups. The hard-fought game there in Pittsburgh, I think the Steelers won 24-16. So the Bengals are going to be opening their season, their home season, so to speak. This is their first home game of the 2016 campaign, and this is the Broncos' first road game. And what does that mean for Trevor Siemian? I mean, yeah, lots of expectations, obviously, when you're replacing a Hall of Fame quarterback, but it's not really such a bad gig when you get to start your first two games at home with a world-class championship defense on your side. So, you know, that's kind of one of the big storylines going into this game is how is Trevor Siemian going to be able to handle the pressure of playing on the road, and if he's still going to be as calm and collected as he is, or maybe this is a chance for the Bengals to force a little bit of extra turnovers. So I think this is as important of a week for game planning for Gary Kubiak in this offense, just to make sure that Siemian is comfortable. This is the first time he's experiencing this. Just let the game come to him. Maybe you develop a script a little bit and try and push the needle a little bit to get the Broncos in the end zone early, and then just let the defense take care of the rest. That's going to be the game plan here for this season going on forward. But, you know, something certainly to watch for Trevor Siemian in this first road start. I'll give you an update on the practice report. We talked about the injuries that the Broncos are facing earlier. Both on Wednesday and Thursday, Virgil Green did not practice because of that calf injury that he's nursing. Corey Nelson didn't practice on Wednesday, but he was back in a limited capacity, so some depth there at the inside linebacker position. We'll look and keep an eye on what his status is going to be. Donald Stevenson has not practiced at all this week because of a calf injury, and then obviously DeMarcus Ware. But some good news on the injury front is Benny Fowler returned to practice for the first time this season. Both had a limited capacity on Wednesday and Thursday, but this is another big target that maybe Trevor Siemian could find in the slot, or if Demaryius is banged up and needs to take some series off, you could throw him out there on the outside. So, you know, Benny Fowler, probably his biggest catch of the year came in the Super Bowl for the two-point conversion. He did not have a touchdown reception all last season, but Trevor Siemian may have some familiarity with him from just both being on the roster and Fowler being a little bit lower on the depth chart. So that'll be something to keep an eye on if he's able to go on Sunday, and it's kind of looking like he may be able to try. Justin Simmons, he was limited on Wednesday and Thursday with a hand injury, and I'll give you a little note on that, is the Broncos brought back Shiloh Keo and waived Kyle Pecco from the team this week. So just a 1 week absence from Shiloh Keo, he's back on the active roster and provides a little bit more depth at safety. So if Justin Simmons can't go, Keo will certainly be able to be there in a depth capacity. Dakota Watson, he was limited with an elbow injury, and then the rest of the guys were all full participants. CJ Anderson, James Ferentz, who's returning to practice this week. He hasn't practiced all of this season. Jeff Heuermann was at full capacity. Tyson Brilo, that's good to see for the offensive line. Demaryius Thomas, all good with the hip injury. And Billy Wynn on the defense with the back injury. He was back at practice at a full capacity. For the Bengals, A.J. Green did not practice because he gave birth to his first child. So congratulations there to A.J. And really no other big injuries to speak of for the Bengals. So very different game going in against a much healthier team, and compared to what you saw with the Indianapolis Colts. All right, that's going to about wrap things up here. This week on the show, still to come, we're going to get you more into Broncos and Bengals. We'll try and talk about more game storylines. And, of course, we're going to get you your game preview, where I will give you my predictions. If you want to make your own predictions, I'll read them on the show at Adam Kinney Radio on Twitter. Follow the show account at Locked On Broncos. Thank you so much for listening. Find us on iTunes. Subscribe. Like the show, like everything else on the Locked On Sports Podcast Network, and we'll see you next time on the Locked On Broncos Podcast Network.